hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a part of God's. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog of God's key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Oh, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the end of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. With lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. If you would like to keep up with some of the things we're doing up here in the Dominion of Canada, you might want to click on my website. Email me, and I'll put you on my email list for regular grams or updates and commentary and so on. My email is paul@paulfromm.com. 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 I'm going to play a short... it's actually a video, but it's you get all the sound. It comes from Saturday. We had a protest outside of the office of our immigration minister. That he's a Somali Muslim immigration lawyer and former head of the president of the Canadian Somali Association. So, not very likely to be standing on guard for us, particularly the European founding settler people. Of course, he has not, and under his tenure, the invasion across our border has proceeded apace. But the illegals, these are people who are coming in legally. My gosh, there are enough of them, and they're changing the demographics of this country. It's all by plan. It's all plotted out. They want to replace white people. That's the bottom line. You can dress it up as diversity or anything else, but that's what it's all about. Anyway, here's what I said outside Ahmed Hassan's. He's our immigration minister. Good God, you know. Saturday afternoon, we had a great little protest there, and this is now up on YouTube, up on the internet. Hope you can catch it. And this is what I said that afternoon. And here we go, I think. Yes.
From Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. We're here outside the offices of Ahmed Hassan. He is Canada's Somali Muslim immigration lawyer, president of the Canadian Somali Association, administered immigration. He's supposed to stand on guard for Canada. Now, when the trust fund kid here, Justin Trudeau, appointed him in January, I was dubious, but I wished him well. I hope he'd do a good job. Well, I have every reason to be dubious. He's done a terrible job. He is facilitating the invasion of our country by illegals. Now, illegals have been pouring across the Manitoba, Quebec, and British Columbia border since just before Christmas. This summer, it's been a flood into Quebec, over 7,000 in just 2 months. And these people are illegal. They don't come through the regular immigration checkpoint because of a weird interpretation of the law. We have an agreement with the United States. If somebody wants to make a refugee claim, they have to make it in the first country they arrive in. So if they arrive in the States, they have to make it in the States. If they arrive in Canada, they have to make it here. Those people in the United States are welfare shopping, asylum shopping, and what they are doing is they don't cross at the border crossing, they just walk through a field. Now, what we ought to be doing is saying, okay, back you go, you're not getting in. And if we don't have enough troops to do that, build a wall. That's what we're saying, build a wall, build a fence, secure the border. Well, this guy has done none of these things. He has simply thrown the door open, and this is going to cost the Canadian taxpayer a fortune in welfare, in housing. We're already housing them in the big sports arena in my city, Montreal. There'll be legal aid costs. There'll be processing costs. Probably language training, job training. This is a huge burden on the Canadian taxpayer. What I would like to see is some bum walk into 24 Sussex Street. And I wonder whether the RCMP would be carrying his briefcase, his bag for him, his knapsack. The way the RCMP are enabling these invaders. They're carrying the suitcases for these relatively well-dressed people, many of whom have money in their pocket, and some of whom are actually carrying kiddie porn. We are being invaded, and this man is a collaborator in that invasion, and we're here to say, build a wall, stop the illegals.
And that's that was from our protest outside Ahmed Hassan's office on Saturday here in Toronto. Lots more than you said. This is an item I saw a little while ago, that's actually about a month ago, but it's still quite disturbing. It's more about politically correct cultural Marxist mind control, which is actively going on. This is from England. UK to ban ads depicting gender stereotypes. London, England. Advertisements that encourage gender stereotypes, such as women cleaning up after their families or men ducking the housework, face being banned under new British watchdog rules. The nation's Advertising Standards Authority has followed a year-long inquiry with tougher standards for potentially harmful material. From next year, the rules, which will now be finalized by a committee of advertising practice, will see the banning of inappropriate campaigns. Oh my gosh. Now, what is an inappropriate campaign? Well, I don't know. Do you? You don't know. Well, how can you? Well, inappropriate is one of those mischievous Orwellian terms gained up by the New World Order and the cultural Marxists. And what it means is it's bad. But you don't know what's bad because you have to guess what's in the mind of the would-be censor or some potential complainer. And of course it makes it very hard to operate under such conditions. The ASA, that's Advertising Standards Authority, found that there was evidence to support stronger rules on the basis that, harmful stereotypes can, quote, restrict the choices, aspirations, and opportunities of children, young people, and adults. Really? So, a woman cleaning up after her family, or a man shirking the housework, what prevents a man from helping her with the housework? Come on! This is mind control of the worst order. So now we're going to see a bunch of sissy husbands cleaning up the house, and you know, bull dyke wives. I don't know. What it is to try to legislate against nature. Women are more house-oriented. They tend to be tidier. Now, that doesn't mean all are. Some women are not tidy, and some men are very fastidious and meticulous. But I think you can make that as a generalization. You know what a stereotype is? A stereotype is a generalization based on reality. Now, the problem, or the, it's not a problem, but it's a fact. A generalization is a conclusion based on evidence, based on experience. It does not mean inevitability. For instance, most women tend to be home-oriented and tidy, but some aren't. Majority are. So if you had to, take a bet as to who is most interested in tidying up the house and doing the housework, you'd be right in choosing the woman. But not, it's not always that way. Controversial advertisements by Gap, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Protein World, all of which received complaints last year, could be affected by the crackdown. The new standards will not ban all stereotypes, such as women cleaning or men doing DIY jobs. But those ads that depict such scenarios as a woman having sole responsibility for seeing her family to her family's untidy habits, or a man trying and failing to do simple parental or household tasks, are likely to be outlawed. What about letting the market decide? If enough people in a market are offended by an ad, and I frequently have told people to complain to this or that company, that's the way this system ought to work. Advertisers should first of all try to imagine the most effective way to move their product, to get attention to their brand name and move their product, yes, of course, and then design an ad most likely to achieve that. That's the way this system ought to work. And if as a consumer you're not happy with an ad you've seen, then of course, by all means, you should complain. That's the way the system ought to work, rather than things being banned. So, how would you show a woman, let's say for some sort of household product, doing some household work but not all? Well, in the last 5 seconds of the ad, the man also pushes, let's say, the Swiffer floor duster? I don't know. Advertisements that depict traditional domestic roles, such as 1980s Bisto commercial, could also be disallowed. Hello? Yeah, can I call you back? I'm doing my show right now. No, I'll call you back in about an hour. Okay. Like a Bisto ad. Now, I'm not quite sure what that was. The sequence shows, the sequence shows a traditional family mealtime with a mother serving her family a hot dinner while her husband sits at the table reading the paper. What's wrong with that? The ASA's report also said marketing campaigns suggesting a specific activity is inappropriate for boys because it's stereotypically associated with girls, and vice versa, could also be banned. So what this is really is a form of mind control. That everybody can do everything. But you know, the problem is, and this is a big problem, when we, the world, people see on TV or in media ads, very often does not correspond with the world they know around them. And there is a fear, and I've seen this in soap operas. And the fear I have is this, is that although on one intellectual level, people remember, people know that what we see on TV or in ads or in dramas is largely make-believe, that's not the real world. It's a dramatized world. I still think there are some people who think that their own life is not the real world, and as such, think that the real world is what they see on TV. This is very much a form of propaganda, anti-traditionalist propaganda, and mind-bending. All this is all in terms of a council of standards. The article, this is from the Daily Telegraph. A poster for Protein World, a slimming product aimed at women, caused a stir last year after an ad asked, "Are you beach body ready?" And featured an image of a toned and athletic woman wearing a bikini. Well, what's wrong with that? A slimming product. Women presumably want to slim down to look better. Now, they may not end up looking like a 24-year-old model with a toned body and so on, but that is the goal. And I don't see what's wrong with that. Militant, man-hating feminists, the Frankfurt School of people who hate families and hate traditional roles, who basically say that gender is a social construct. That is, you can be whatever you want. Well, it's true. I could walk around in high heels and stockings and put on lipstick and rouge and so on, but nail polish, but that would not make me a woman. But if I thought I was a woman, and I'm a man, and I do that, I'll only make myself in the long run frustrated and unhappy. We're preparing a case on the transgendered. Yeah, good God, we live in insane times, don't we? Anyway, the transgendered. Up until a couple of years ago, I wasn't even sure what transgendered was. It's not the same as cross-dressing. That is, there are some men who, for whatever peculiar reasons, want to put on women's underwear and high-heel shoes and lipstick. And they're not necessarily homosexual. It's a weird fetish or perversion. But that's not what the transgendered are. These are ones who are born a male and want to be a female, or vice versa, born a female and want to be a male, and sometimes go through hormone treatment, sometimes even surgery. But the interesting thing is, these people have a very, very high suicide rate. So, artificially changing your body, denying who you are, doesn't lead to happiness. And that's why that's one of the reasons I find media campaigns like this very disturbing. Because there is an attempt to preach regularize a highly destructive lifestyle. By gay Canadian. Now, this is, unfortunately, tongue-in-cheek, from the National Post of August 31st, article by Peter Foster. Governments, in particular left liberal governments, are congenitally incapable of sticking to one clear policy target. Like the cat in the hat, they try to juggle more and more objects in more and more complex ways until they make the most prodigious mess. But then bureaucracy thrives on complexity and addressing, if not quite cleaning up, policy pileups. This week's federal cabinet shuffle focused on splitting the indigenous, that's the native Indians, the latest term. Just last week they were First Nations, and before that they were they were Aboriginals. But you know, you've got to wonder about any people whose designation keeps changing. You know, when I was growing up, it was colored people, or sometimes Negroes. Then it became blacks. Everything was black. Then it became African Americans, and now it's Afro Americans. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Afro Americans. Now it's African Americans. somewhere along the line, it's also people of color. Well, you kind of wonder about any group that can't quite decide what to call itself. Anyway, okay, this is by Canadian. Sorry, this is Canadian. Oh, we're not quite there yet. So, in the cabinet shuffle of about 2 weeks ago, the Indian and Northern, Aboriginal and Northern Affairs Department was divided, split into two. One would be dealing with policy, the other would be dealing with service. This week's, a couple weeks ago, that federal cabinet shuffle focused on splitting the indigenous file between consultation and service delivery. The one certain result of this split will be a proliferation of coordinating committees. After all, doesn't service require a consultation? You know, coordinating committees, that's good for hours and hours of meeting and more bureaucratic care. Hirings and time and procurements is less in the limelight, even though this week's shuffle ostensibly resulted from the formal resignation of Judy Foote. She was Minister of Public Services and Procurement. Her ministerial replacement is Carla Qualtro, formerly Minister of Sports and Persons with Disabilities. Yeah, that was a department. Minister of Sports and Persons with Disabilities. It's kind of like the Minister of the Talented and the Untalented. we truly, you know, unless you have a sense of humor, some of the stuff going on in Canada and the bureaucracy would drive you either to drink or suicide. Judy Foote's replacement as representative of Newfoundland and Labrador is former TV host Seamus O'Regan, who takes over as Veterans Affairs. O'Regan ticks certain boxes that reflect a progressive-minded government, including his gay marriage and recovery from rehab. This guy's a cabinet minister. Yes, this is truly the Weimar Republic of immorality, degeneracy, and insanity all over the place. So, Seamus, had to take a leave of absence some time ago because he was going into rehab. Yeah, you know, any man of honor would have said, listen, my life's a mess. I'll resign. I'll resign my seat and let somebody who isn't trying to wean himself off the booze do the job. A guy in a gay marriage. Which, in my opinion, is no marriage at all. Whatever the relationship between two men might be, it's not a marriage. But fair enough, that our country says it is. And you know, we could say that the sun rises in the west, but isn't going to make it so. Anyway, Seamus, who's finished with rehab, apparently not finished with his gay marriage. He is taking over as Veterans Affairs. A good fit. The men and women who sacrificed very much for our country now has as their spokesman a recovering alcoholic homosexual. Well, in a gay marriage. Yeah, if I were a vet, my heart would swell with pride that I'd ever taken any risks for this country. Anyway, Reagan also seems to indicate that the government is as much about being a social service for its caucus members as providing such services for the taxpayers. Quote, "My medical team is very happy with me and my progress," O'Regan was quoted as saying. And, in actual fact, the stresses and strains of purposeful work is something, we actually should be R something, but okay, that I find completely invigorating and keeps me healthy. The author says, Canada's veterans will surely be happy that they can be so useful to the minister. So by getting back down to work, he'll be able to be reinvigorated and stay healthy. Well, does that mean when he was elected, he was just sitting around doing nothing? Well, that's and that's why he hit the booze? Is that what he's saying? Don't know, but reading between all the all the politically correct gobbledygook, you gotta wonder if that's what's being said. And in his column, Peter Foster continues, "The Aboriginal issue is arguably now totally intractable, but in theory, at least, procurement, the huge job of buying stuff for the government, is ripe for improvement and could save many billions of taxpayers' dollars. Instead, Qualtrough, she's the new Minister of Procurement, stands to inherit something called social procurement, which threatens to take a function that is now being performed badly and ensure that it will be executed in an even more complex and less efficient manner. Why fail to meet just one objective when you can fail to deliver on several?" Now, listen to that. Procurement, that's buying goods and material that the government needs. Now, one of the criteria will be social procurement. What does that mean? Previously, it would procurement would ideally be based on trying to find the best product for the least price. Although, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, the best price for best product for the least price. Any canny shopper would do. But oh no, social procurement. Anyway, in this rather well-written editorial, Peter Foster continues. The great economist Friedrich Hayek identified social as a weasel word that sucked the life from nouns to which it was attached and or entirely reversed their meaning. Hence, social democracy is a veil for non-democratic agenda. Social justice, a code for forced redistribution, and social security, a term for a set of programs that threaten the financial security of the entire state because of taxes. The alarm bell should ring extra loud when we find it appended to a concept that is already murky. According to a recent story from the Canadian Press, quote, "The federal Liberal government is thinking about using a massive purchasing power to support women in business. And not just women, ethnic minorities, LGBTQ Canadians, you name it." Now, it's thinking of using social procurement, you know, of government goods and services, to support women in business. Would that mean preference would be given to, say, let's supplying office equipment to a company owned by a woman, as opposed to a company owned by a man who would be offering the same office furniture and equipment less expensive rate? Don't know, but that's what it could be. And also, it would be supporting other communities, such as the LGBTQ2 Canadians. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and two-spirited. Two-spirited was allegedly was an Indian term, Native Indian term, for homosexuals. And Canadian Press has discovered that the government had guided the report to a memo prepared for Status of Women Canada, calling for inclusive federal for inclusive federal procurement. What does that mean? This apparently sprang from the thinking socks Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. It's all part of modernizing procurement and bringing it in line with the government's broader socio-economic objectives, including increasing the diversity of the supply chain. Oh! So it would probably be more important that a person with a turban on his head owned a company that might be bidding to supply the government with something, or a woman owned the company, or an LGBTQ, or any member of that collection of the deluded and the dysfunctional, than a company owned by a man that would provide the goods or services at a better price. Diversifying the supply chain is really a code word for more anti-white or anti-white male discrimination. And the critique continues. Status of Women Canada has asked the conference board to make the case for why more diverse suppliers made good economic sense. Conference board had, of course, obliged, projecting a cornucopia of good things, including possible access to U.S. government business, where there were already supplier diversity policies. Any U.S. protectionist inclinations to buy American might be cast aside when presented with the opportunity of buying gay Canadian. The draft report suggested that the federal government was in fact behind the curve, because private businesses already have effective diversity procurement programs. They are, of course, already a plethora of such programs at the municipal and provincial levels. But what about the danger of ineffective programs? What about the fact that government procurement is already a morass of incompetence, corruption, and confusion, created partly by the insertion of purely political objectives, such as, say, tossing out the procurement choices of the previous government, which is one of the things that the Trust Fund Kids government has done. For decades, defense procurement has been limping, mayday parade of helicopter disasters, fighter squabbles, and supply ship chicanery. Then there's Ottawa's inability to procure a payroll system that can reliably pay its own employees. To introduce allegedly socially desirable considerations into this farrago is the way of madness, but also more jobs for bureaucrats. Indeed, in some areas of the federal civil service, people go weeks without their pay. Not by way of discipline or anything like that, just massive incompetence. The government can't get its act together to pay its own employees. But they want to add more levels of complexity to the mix. And of course, that will only result in more incompetence and waste. Buy Canadian, and buy American, and buy Canadian are bad policies because they restrict choices in trade, reduce quality, and cost jobs. But criticizing them in no way disparages the value of either America or Canada as national entities. Similarly, to buy women or buy gay as a matter of arm-twisted procurement is not a criticism of women or gays. Anybody who strives for and achieves commercial success is to be celebrated. good business is gender and race blind. Procurement doesn't need modernizing so much as to absorb politically correct shibboleths. It needs to get back to basics, providing value for taxpayers' money. And I would largely agree with that. I can see it makes sense to have a buy Canadian or buy American policy. It makes no sense introduce social engineering into the process. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you in just a couple of minutes. Going to take a short musical interlude here, and here's a song from yesteryear from a very, very pretty lady. Had a lot of tragedy in her life. Her name's Lori Morgan. She was married to Chris Whitley, who, of course, died at a fairly young age of alcoholism. He was also a great talent. This is a song of hers from the old Porter Wagoner show, What Part of No Don't You Understand? The lovely Lori Morgan.
If I've told you once, I've told you twice, I'm just here to what you find. I'm not interested in romance, what you have in mind. What part of no don't you understand? Give her a mic.
Western song I hope you like. It's a lot of artists have sung it, and this is Gene Watson and Rhonda Vincent. Nothing Sure Looked Good on You.
When we were down to nothing, they sure look good on you.
Gene Watson, and when we were down to nothing, nothing sure looked good on you. And I'll play one more tune. This is another tune by Gene Watson.
Been fighting with these sheets again. Can't make myself lie still. My pillowcase is soaking wet, and yet I feel the chill. It takes all I can do these days to just survive the night. It's crazy when a man can't get a woman off his mind. When a man can't shake a memory, he runs hard and cold and blind. He hates her and he loves her. It's almost 4 a.m. My mind keeps painting pictures of you
out loving him. I just crushed a Dipsy cup for running out of wine. Oh, it's crazy when a man can't get a woman off his mind. He loves her, and he hates her one more time. Her love has just a grip on me, it chokes me like a vine. Oh, it's crazy when a man can't get a woman. When a man can't get a woman off his mind.
That's Gene Watson, and When a Man Can't Get a Woman Off His Mind. And this is Paul Frohman. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people. I saw there's all sorts of news on the TV these now about the terrible hurricane that ravished a good deal of the Caribbean and, of course, has hammered Florida, caused probably billions and billions of dollars of damage. There's also reports, though, about some of the damage in other parts of the Caribbean, including the island of it's one of these funny islands. It's islands, some call it Saint Martin, and others call it Saint Martin. That's because it's a divided island. One third of it, the western one third, is Dutch, and the eastern two thirds is French. And this goes back to the colonial the battles between the European powers back in the 17th and 18th centuries. And what the French and the Dutch did is decide that it was no point battling over it, over the island, and so they simply have an unprotected border. And years ago, when I first visited there on a wedding trip, you would use guilders on the Dutch side and francs on the French side. What with the coming of the the euro, now it's euros or American dollars are pretty widely accepted. Anyway, that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that in the wake of the hurricane, there has been considerable looting in Saint Martin, the French have flown in more paratroopers and soldiers to try to take control of it. And I was seeing on the TV tonight, today. There was plane loads of Americans being flown to Puerto Rico, which is about 45 minutes away. Not surprising, I would say. The blacks have a long history of looting. And when we were talking about this yesterday on the American Freedom Party show, which is every Sunday from 3 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, and you can get that on republicbroadcasting.org. Republicbroadcasting.org, the American Freedom Party, with three of us co-hosts, Jamie Kelso, who's the membership secretary of the American Freedom Party, George from Maryland, a longtime activist and supporter, and me, the international advisor of the American Freedom Party. We talked about many, many things, but one of the things about the looting and the fact that it's mostly blacks who are looting down there. But as I suggested yesterday, no surprise. What happened in New Orleans after the it was hammered by Hurricane Katrina? It was widespread looting, not whites looting, but blacks looting. Blacks even looting, not looting. If you know, you might perhaps understand in desperate circumstances, people looting bottled water or something like that. But staggering out of looted Walmarts with big television sets, and there's no power. you know, there's a problem here. And of course, in New Orleans, there was also some police who abandoned their posts and joined in the looting. These were black police, not all black police, of course. Here's a rather disturbing item, but nonetheless a real item. From today's Globe and Mail in Canada, and it says here, regimes increasingly shut down internet to control protests. I'm going to read a little bit of this, and then I want to make a comment. After 50 years of repressive rule by the same family, the people of Togo, that's in West Africa, more than 100,000 protesters filled the streets of the small West African nation this month. The regime responded with strong arm tactics, including one that's become increasingly popular among the world's autocracies. It has shut down the internet, making it almost impossible for its opponents to use social media to organize. On Sunday, for a sixth consecutive day, the shutdown was still in effect. The Togolese people had no access to Facebook, WhatsApp, or other internet services on their mobile phones, the main way in which Africans gain access to the internet. And farther down in the article, the writer, Jeffrey York, ticks off some of the other countries that over the past while, these ones are mostly in Africa, have interfered with or shut down the internet because they fear their people. These countries include, and this is just in the past 2 years, Ethiopia, Gabon, Gambia, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which is not, Uganda, Chad, Morocco, Egypt, Algeria, Libya, and Mali. Cameroon's elderly dictator Paul Biya has ruled the country for 35 years. His regime has denounced the use of social media as dangerous and a new form of terrorism. But yeah, spreading ideas. Ooh, that's bad stuff. But before we get too smug about it and say, oh, well, that's just Africa. And of course, it is Africa, but it's not just Africa. What's happening in the United States? The dark forces, particularly the anti-white lobby, has pressured big companies, big tech companies like Google, GoDaddy, and so on. Stormfront, the Daily Stormer, had their domain name canceled. They failed to put Daily Stormer out of business, but all sorts of websites have been shut down arbitrarily. People have been thrown off Facebook. There's a running battle with YouTube as they try to censor politically incorrect material. the way they phrase it is contrary to community standards. What you mean? Contrary to the radical leftist, left-wing thinking of the people that own this company. So we mustn't think for a nanosecond that we're immune to that in the West. In Germany, there's a running persecution of people on Facebook, on websites. Facebook and others and Google are ordered by the German government to shut down anti-immigration posters and so on, under threats of huge fines. So these companies become the censors. Now, young people are finding ways around this, and that's good. But dictators the world over, and you know, people like Angela Merkel and others who may just as well be dictators, want to silence opposition, and that's the way it's being done. Because they know that the most democratic and the freest invention in a long, long time is is the internet, this is what they're trying to throttle. The internet, what with the ready communications the speed of things like Twitter, Facebook, and so on. It's a way to counter totalitarian propaganda. The state may claim one thing, and usually it's in a clunkish reaction hours after an event, but through the social media, people can see the reality in many cases immediately. And there are many instances recently, if it hadn't been for the social media, that officialdom, particularly police and the like, would have gotten away with all manner of crimes. So this is something we all have to be aware of and have to be prepared to fight back against. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are all Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.